6, second baseman number 2, Nico Hoerner.
Nico Hoerner, that's so fun.
Nico Hoerner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys. Nico Hoerner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Well, Ryan Sandberg is our guest here. Do you have a relationship with Nico Hoerner?
I do, just been from being around. And
yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Yeah, I mean, like he's making the transition to second base.
And he's an all-around player. It fits, doesn't it, Dave?
Yeah, I like him. That is one of the better bats that we have. I can hit close to 300 and use the whole field. He plays the game the right way. So I've done some appearances with him and been around him. The defense, I think, is going to be a bright spot. I mean, the reason I'm kind of hesitating with the statue thing about I could very easily put a perfect home run swing up there. But I think defense is the thing that got me to the big leagues first. And I think defensive pitching is where the game starts. You have good pitching and good defense, you have a chance to win every game. And then you just have to get a key hit and do some things. So I think defense is a big part of it. So the way that he plays, it's a bright spot, and it really gives them a chance to win every day.
Nico Hoerner on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
We are thankful to our friend Nico Hoerner for joining us. By the way, Cubs and Brewers begin a huge series tonight, or continue a huge series tonight in Milwaukee. Pregame coverage starts at 6:05. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 6:40. The score on the score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Nico, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We know that this isn't easy, and we appreciate you jumping on with us. People can see you on Twitch. So you're repping Rhino. So last night when you guys get word about that, what was the first thing that you started thinking about?
I mean, Counts talked to the group some just briefly after the game, and I just wanted to let everybody know that hadn't heard and emphasize just obviously how sad it is, but how lucky we were to have him as a part of our organization and our team at all, and a reminder of just like the joys of playing and how much he emphasized just wanting to be around the game of baseball until his very last days that he possibly could. And just incredible stuff that he gave to this organization, and you know, a reminder of how amazing what we get to do is. And but yeah, just a really tough time.
It's a day where we're going to spend a lot of time, Nico, kind of looking back on his career. But I love how current he was, how around he was, how present he was. And I mean, and Counts mentioned it, you guys in the spring, this spring, like to see him. And it's a tough time for Ryan Sandberg. And he chose to spend his time with you guys. That's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I feel like some people after their career is done, they don't really know how to handle things not being about them anymore. And that was never the case with him. It was always about the game of baseball first and the respect that he had for it. And, you know, you watch his Hall of Fame speech, and that was a big thing that he was emphasizing, just respect for the game, even as a superstar and legend in the sport. He was never bigger than the game itself. And he held on to that through all of his time with us. And I just really appreciate the lens that he looked at the sport with, and how selfless he was, even though he had every reason to make it about himself.
Last week you shared with us him bringing the gloves in, and I know people were talking to you a little bit in post game last night. I kept thinking about that, you know, while I was watching you guys play and then hearing the news of it, I kept thinking about how important artifacts like that can be when you're making connections between people. And it seemed to really connect with you that he was willing to share some of that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you guys had an awesome intro to this segment, but just hearing him talk about his statue and wanting it to be him playing defense, and you know, even though he was a guy who hit 40 homers and had all the accolades offensively, just how core to his game he saw defense and to winning in general. And so it was cool to always talk about the defensive side of things with him and things that he did to that he took pride in, and just sharing, you know, that same space at Wrigley that he manned for so long. It's was an incredible thing to get to talk about.
You you mentioned the intro. That was 2023, us at Harry Carey's on Navy Pier, and him talking about you. He enjoyed you as a player, just straight up. Like, I mean, that's pretty neat, and not a surprise, frankly, to us who get to watch you as a player. So you must have had at least a couple moments with him, just kind of talking about the basics, and pretty nice that a Hall of Famer appreciated you, man.
Yeah, absolutely, and it seems like he appreciated me for the things that he kind of valued some and took pride in himself, and so that means the world. And you know, for us as players, we all strive to be players even somewhat like him, and that he pretty much did every part of the game well. You know, we've talked about that a lot on this show, of just always looking for ways to improve as a player, how you can be more valuable and affect winning. And talk about a guy that hit for power, played great defense, played fast, played hard, played all the time. Like, you check every box as a player like that and do it for two decades, and that's what a Hall of Famer is, and pretty incredible.
Talking to Nico Horner on the Spiegel and Holmes show, he's up in Milwaukee, always makes his way to a good spot visually to hang out with us on the Twitch. Is that behind the plate in front of the netting right there?
No, I'm in the ball boy chair down the third baseline.
That is outstanding. I hope Rhino was watching on Sunday, man, because the ball game you had on Sunday on the south side, the 15-pitch at bat before an infield hit, a 9-pitch walk later, the crazy-ass rundown for the obstruction play.
Nico, you saw like 60 pitches in your at bats.
and the infield fly double play. I mean, there's a little something for everybody in every facet of your game. Oh, and an RBI single before you scored on the Matt Shaw double, getting to do your head first slide with the tongue out. I mean, that had everything that day. Crazy fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's not a sport where you can really force the action too much. Like a lot of sports, you can, you know, play harder and really impact winning. It doesn't always show up that way in baseball, but sometimes the game just gives you opportunities, and that game gave me a lot, and was able to capitalize on some of them, and a little chaos involved, but it worked out well, and it was a really fun series win.
Well, we've been joking in our group chat. I thought it was Javian. I have now dubbed you new Javi. So just so you know,
there's only one, but that's okay.
We gotta find out what the French word for magician is, and then we can add that and put that with Nico, since we already have El Mago for Javi.
So Javi in what? In just like creating the chaos?
The being a chaos agent. And to me, it was more about the joy. Like, watching Nico play this weekend, there was a lot of joy in it. And I was like, man, this is so fun. Like, you're just sitting there watching a guy who, like, there's a bleep eating grin going on with the infield fly play, and it's like, because I know the rules, I get an opportunity to make a great play. Uh-huh. And I gotta tell you, like, playing against that guy when you're younger, like, you hated that guy, and getting a chance to see Nico do it, I'm like, God, I love that guy, he's amazing. So that's what's Javian.
Yeah, people always ask, like, oh, like, what'd you learn, like, playing next to Javi? Or, and obviously, I'm like, probably not the guy to like try and emulate the things he does on the field, because he's, you know, generational and kind of one of a kind with just what he can do. But if there is something, it's definitely like, that level of playing with freedom and joy and not being afraid of risks, and just like trusting when it comes to playing, just like trusting your athleticism and enjoying it too. And so. Thank you. It's a high compliment.
and trusting your baseball instincts, because you've got them. So when does the thought hit you on the infield fly? Walk us through that mental process, will you? As the ball is in the air and you're thinking about what to do.
Yeah. So off the bat, I was more so thinking about, like, because the runner didn't run right away. Just thinking about dropping it and then getting him at first, but then they call infield fly, so I hear that, and then my feet are on the grass, which makes it a lot easier. to handle a ball that bounces. I don't really like letting it drop on the dirt just because there's a little more, you don't want it to bounce away and then the runners advance or something like that. So my mind is more so on the runner in front of me, though, once I let it drop. That's why there's kind of a little pause. But then Bushy's pointing and Dansby's yelling three, and that helped me out a lot to be able to pick it up and get him at third.
So and then the walk-off, Lawrence, just the walk-off. I mean, you, the swagger, the joy, that had to be satisfying because it looked like it was satisfying.
Yeah, very, very satisfying. Just because, I mean, like, you know, we always talking in the locker room or throughout the game and kind of all these hypotheticals. I feel like we have a team that really likes to just talk the game, and the staff as well, and in a great way. But a lot of that stuff just doesn't really show up maybe every year or two. And so when there is an opportunity for something like that and it actually works out and it's in a big spot and a game with a lot of energy and playing the White Sox and stuff, yeah, it's incredibly satisfying.
How what was the reaction when you got back to the dugout?
Yeah, it's just excitement, people laughing, people excited, and good momentum our way, and had been a back and forth series, and yeah, it felt great.
How satisfying is it to have a clubhouse where those conversations are coming on? Because look, in theory, everyone there really loves baseball, but how does it feel for that to be shown through the fact that you guys are not just playing the game, but you're talking the game?
Yeah, and it shows up in times that don't go well too. But like when there is a constant dialogue, it sets down standards, accountability, and it goes back to joy around the game too. Because part of what makes the game so fun is like knowing that it's challenging, but then, you know, working through things. And when they show up at game speed, it's really satisfying. I remember one moment we lost in Miami. Jesus Sanchez hit a ball down the line that was a walk off, and It was smoked, and it was right down the line, but it was a situation that, you know, some teams just put their defender, like, literally sit him on the line and play no doubles, and in that case, we were in closer to a more traditional, and it didn't work out that game, but it was cool, because after the game, it was just, like, everyone was just, like, talking about it, and just so invested in the theory of it, and just the, you know, obviously the result wasn't great, but we were talking through just why and how, and when you're on the field, whatever you're doing, you want to believe in it, and that comes through conversation and things like that. And so obviously every plan or thought has holes in it, and things are going to get exposed at times, but it's fun when you feel like you're all on the same page.
I think you got a lot of people that play that way, you know, like it made me think of Dansby with a fake out in Arizona on the opening weekend.
That was such a great play. Man, right? That feels like 2 years ago, but yeah, that was great.
That was the opening weekend of this year. That's right. Yeah. It was Corbin Carroll at the plate who hit it, and he knew he wasn't going to get him, but he still deked the throw to first and went over and tagged the runner. But like, you know, and Ian's instincts on the obstruction play with Colson Montgomery. Yeah. he knows that's his base path, and if he goes right through, he's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, he made sure to let him know.
He really did. Did you guys get Ian some shoulder pads or something? Because
for a guy who didn't play contact sports growing up, he's a, you know, golf and baseball guy. That was
pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty good. He's in there somewhere.
I think he's got fullback mentality when I think about it. Like as a blocking guy?
Yeah, he grew up in Pittsburgh. He's a tough guy. Yeah.
They all play football there.
Yeah.
Even though they don't. Because it's Ian. But.
All right. Wait. Look, last night is a missed opportunity. That's a tough game, isn't it? When you're up 3-0 on the Miz in inning number one, did it feel like last night should have gone a different way than it did?
What'd you call him?
The Miz? I went with the Miz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're all right with that. I mean, he's not our player. Maybe I shouldn't be that familiar, right? He's there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you take 3-0 lead with Boyd on the mound, you take your odds absolutely every time with that. And, you know, would love to, anytime we have a 3-run lead with him on the mound and, you know, a full bullpen and everything, feel great about your chances. And we weren't able to capitalize on it.
Should I not call Milwaukee players by their nickname? Does that feel wrong?
No, I was just unfamiliar. I missed out, I guess.
What's it like to play in emotionally charged back-to-back road, you know, I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me on Twitch, road series like these two series have been. Like, these packed houses over on the south side this weekend. Yesterday, that place was going crazy between Brewers and Cubs fans. How do you channel that emotion of playing in something like this for the last 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. It's more than anything, I think it's energizing and it's exciting. I think it brings out the best in a lot of people. I've always really enjoyed the games we get to play in at the White Sox ballpark. We've had I feel like some pretty crazy games against them in the last 2 or 3 years, even though we've had a good record. A lot of them have been really close. So, those games are always charged and fun and just makes you appreciate being in a city that cares about sport that much and is invested, and no matter how either team is doing, and kind of feels like it's going to be a close game no matter what. And then, same with Milwaukee. I mean, the games here have always been high energy, especially they had the roof open last night, but especially when the roof is closed here, it gets really loud. And, it's an awesome opportunity to be in the middle of the season, but having those intense atmospheres. And, you know, that's the fun part about playing for a good team and having high stakes. It's an amazing thing to get to do.
One more Rhino note that I wanted to go through with you, because Counts brought it up last night, and he says that he talks about this all the time.
Yeah, him and Flaherty mention it once a week, right?
Yeah, when you talk about the amount of triples that Rhino had in 1984.
Yeah, and then he had 19 triples.
Yeah, 19 triples and 13 of them at Wrigley Field.
I think it was 14 at Wrigley. It's insane.
Yeah.
How do you get 14 triples at Wrigley Field?
I mean, Wrigley's a decent triples park, like metrically, but a lot of those are just lefties that hook it down the line. Like, to do it as a righty is pretty crazy. There can be the left field corner ball shows up sometimes if it really sits in the ivy, but you got to be really fast and just ready for it at all times, aggressive and hitting the ball hard in the air somewhere all the time and just never stop running. So that's a really, really crazy stat. I'm pretty blown away by that.
All right, Nico, you're the man. How about a hidden ball trick? Somebody in the Twitch mob thinks that could...
I've never done that at any level. Never had a successful one. Never really had an elaborate try or anything. I feel like people are pretty on it. I do really want to, like, backpick a runner at first base on, like, a single to the outfield that they throw in, and he's, like, celebrating with the first base dugout at Wrigley. Like, sometimes, like, that kind of shows up, and I haven't executed that, but that's out there.
Next time you get Lenin Sosa on the bases, you can give it a shot.
Nico, good luck tonight, good health, and thanks for joining us and sharing your stories about Rhino.
All right, guys, thank you, have a good one.